Greetings, beautiful one. This is Christelle Tomlinson welcoming you to another episode of our Good Guest Mondays podcast. It is Monday, and for all the reasons you don't want it to be Monday, let me give you some reasons why you should be happy to meet this day, this new week, and just embrace all the goodness that is in it. It's a brand new opportunity to pursue your goals, to test your discipline, to rise above the challenge and develop resilience, and to get closer and closer to actualizing the dreams that you have for your life. So another Monday indicates another opportunity to do your very best. And I am considering it an honor, as I always do, to help fuel your mind, your body, and your spirit for the week ahead. In case this is your first time joining us for Good Guest Mondays, let me introduce myself. I am the author of the book Kill Fear, The Art of Courageous Living, which you can get on Amazon at any time. I'm also the head coach at the Success Farm Life Academy, where I help you, millennials, mothers, entrepreneurs, persons who are shy about public speaking, teenagers who are looking for clarity to get closer to a powerful vision of themselves, and ambitious spirits who are just looking to develop clarity and courage to achieve their goals. So I'm here to help you plant the right success seeds in your life, and we do that through a range of trainings on our Success Farm. I'm also a mother, a speaker, a political leader, and I am Jamaican. So you will hear, if you don't already know, references to the Jamaican vernacular, culture, and of course a little bit of patois mixed in here and there. But it's my pleasure to have you tuned in, and if this is your first time, welcome to the gas pump. We top you up with powerful conversations that give you the spiritual stamina to plant good seeds and consistently water your life's garden and reap the sweet fruits of success in all areas of your life. So before we jump in, I want to remind you of a seed that I had asked you to plant in your spirit a little over a year ago, and it's around principles. And I call it to mind now because very recently I had to draw the line and establish boundaries based on my principles. And here are three things to remember about life principles and why you need to set them. Life doesn't have a manual, so we have to find a steady compass to guide us in high tides and low tides. And principles act as a very good baseline for that. So when things are rough, you can operate on your baseline principles. And when things are great, you can also operate on those baseline principles. So it keeps you consistent in behavior, in belief, and how you treat other people as well. You can stay consistent because you have baseline principles. The second thing to remember about principles is that good principles require good practice. So having principles on paper does no justice in terms of the power of clarity, direction, and consistency they can add to your life. So you can't pick and choose when you're going to apply the principles. You have to practice them well, practice them consistently, and do so with a sense of honor. You're honoring your principles. You're not just practicing them, you're honoring them. So there has to be a positive energy behind which you are exercising those principles. Not to parade that I am on a moral high ground superior to all others, but simply to honor the very best parts of good character, good thought, good speech, good behavior, whether or not people are looking. So good principles require good practice. And then the third thing is that change is constant. Principles have to be too. A lot of people think that because things will change, the principles must also change. And there are certain phases in our lives where we will outgrow particular principles, adopt new ones as we mature, maybe even raise the bar on behavior. Some areas of life that you may not have principles today, in another 5 to 10 years, you might find it important to develop principles in those areas. So relationship principles while you're single may then lead to marriage principles when you're married. So you won't have the same principles for every season of your life. That list has permission to grow and change with the seasons. But the baseline ethic that drives those principles has to be constant. So if honesty is a principle for you, as you develop principles related to relationships and business and spiritual practice, honesty should feature in every single one of those, even as you're developing new principles. So while change is constant, principles must be constant too. With that said, let's jump into this week's episode of Good Gas Mondays. It's part of a three-part series. This is actually part one. And the focus here is some self-assessment to see if we are sabotaging ourselves. The title of this series, Are You the Weapon Formed Against You? Now, you may be familiar with a Bible verse that speaks to the fact that no weapon formed against me shall prosper. And it's something that we repeat, I mean, with a lot of sincerity, believing genuinely that the God we serve, the supreme energy that guides the universe, will protect us from all those meaning to do us harm and all weapons formed to create barriers, to wipe out our dreams, to create dissonance in our lives, that the supreme being and creator will always protect us. And so we know with certainty that no weapon formed against us shall prosper. But I want to ask you a question, and this three-part series explores the three things, and we break them out to call them BRB, the three things that we should always focus on to make sure that we are not forming weapons against ourselves in those areas. And so the question really is, are you the weapon formed against you? Are you failing yourself? And if you are, how do you know that? If you are not, again, how do you know that you're not failing yourself? Are you spending any time to review your habits and where those habits are taking you? And if you are doing that, then you have much more clarity than so many others because you are paying attention to your life. We don't learn the lessons in life unless we're stopping to record those lessons. If we ignore what life is telling us, what life is requiring of us, and what our habits are proving to be true about what we value, if we ignore that, we lose the opportunity to learn from those lessons. So where have your habits brought you? And the first part of this series, the first B, is around your body. When you look at your body, when you spend time to assess how you feel about your body, how have you been the weapon formed against your very own body? That physical manifestation of who you are that the world gets to see and that you have the divine authority and responsibility to take care of. Have you been dishonoring your body? And in doing so, have you become the very weapon formed against you, preventing you from meeting the goals that you have for physical wellness, spiritual wellness, mental health and well-being? How do you know that the dis-ease you feel in your body is caused by your behavior, what you have done or failed to do? So here are some ways that we may be dishonoring our bodies. And if this sounds like you, it's not a space for judgment. We just want to help you get clear. That's my only goal here, to help you to get clear on whether we are emptying our cups, our physical cups, and giving ourselves nothing to work with. So where are you in terms of regular movement? Are you practicing good exercise? Are you releasing those endorphins and chemicals in your body that allow you to feel good, feel energized, have greater focus and clarity, improve your mood and energy throughout the day? How are you offering yourself nutrition? We all went to school and we did our introduction to biology to some degree to understand the core vitamins, minerals, nutrients that our body needed. We were all taught that the body is made up of 80% water. And so if you're going to quench your thirst, the very best thing to do that with is water. How have you been offering nutrition to your body? Have you gotten lazy, only going to the fast food drive-thru, or to the point where you don't honor the request for food, so you go hungry and end up in forced fast mode? Your body's fasting for no good reason except that you can't bother to prepare a meal, or you forgot, or you're too tired, or you're too busy. Are you honoring your body's need for nutrition? What kind of internal self-dialogue are you engaged in that is causing dis-ease of the mind? And for us, we think of the mind as a solely spiritual thing, so you can't put your hand on the mind. But part of the mind is the physical makeup and the chemical cellular operations of the brain. And what you think, what you eat, whether or not you're sleeping, all of those things impact how your brain is formed. And that is part of what feeds the mind. So I'll give you a quick example. If you overstimulate your fear center, your amygdala, with thoughts about failure, all the things that make you unworthy, all the times that you have ever failed, all the reasons people criticize you about the failure, if those are the thoughts that consume you more often than not, then you've overstimulated the amygdala in your brain with the negative self-talk, and that causes you to see danger in your environment instead of opportunity. So the more you look at the world through that lens of fear, it's the more you're going to see reasons to be fearful. So if you're not taking care of the internal self-dialogue, you're also affecting the chemicals operating in the brain and the physical areas that, you know, you can actually see if you open somebody's brain, that almond-shaped space that we call the amygdala, that can also become a predominant actor in the brain itself, which affects how you see the world and how you show up in the world. So what are you thinking about yourself? What are the things that you're saying to yourself? And what are the things you're allowing people to say to you? Have you gotten to a place where you're judging your body solely on the metrics of social media? You know, comparing your body to everybody else versus focusing on how the body feels. If you've given your body time to rest, to heal, if you're giving it the right kind of nutrition and movement. Are you judging yourself harshly, internal self-dialogue, based on comparison to others that causes you to make unhealthy decisions about your body, like crash diets, obsessing over the scale versus how you feel in your clothes and what you put inside the vessel? There are simple things we can do to begin to honor our bodies, but the first thing we have to assess is how we are dishonoring the body. And those are some questions that I'm inviting you to ask yourself. How does my body feel? How have I been offering nutrition to my body? What am I giving my body as fuel to work with for the day? Am I involved in any kind of regular movement to train my muscles? Am I giving my body the full experience of rest so it can renew, regenerate, and serve me well for the next day? Or am I operating on sleep debt, where I'll tell myself I'll make up for the sleep on the weekend? How am I honoring, serving, caring for this body? And how I'm treating it, is that evidence of love, or that there is a lack of love for self? So are you the weapon formed against your body right now? Being too lazy to get up and work out, being too inconsistent to drink the water you should drink daily, to have your fruits and vegetables, to take the vitamins and minerals that will keep your body properly sustained? Are you the weapon formed against you? Now, I came to this question about a month ago, having started a raw food challenge with my friend Stacia Davidson, and she's actually closing registration tonight, the day that this episode is being published. So if you'd like to register, I will put in the show notes her handle online so you can actually register. But let me tell you a little bit about the challenge. It's a raw food challenge that asks you to eat for 21 days raw fruits, vegetables, nuts, and of course, drink your water, whether it's coconut water or water from the tap, bottled water. And for 21 days, a group of us, about 40 of us, inside a WhatsApp group, shared the journey with each other, the meals that we were having, and we got completely creative on how to make raw food taste delicious. So now we have some professionals at creating salad dressing and making meat out of nut and cheese out of nut. But the bigger lesson here, outside of expanding our culinary expertise, was learning what the body really needed, what foods the body enjoyed breaking down, and thereby cutting out of the diet the food that the body was struggling to process. Processed food is a challenge for the body because a lot of what is contained in the processed food is unnatural. The sugars, for example, compared to the natural sugars that we get from fruit, complicated for the body to break down. A lot of the unhealthy starch and carbohydrates that we're taking in from the rice and the flour, again, more difficult for the body to break down than what it would get from fruits, vegetables, and nuts. And so there are amazing testimonials from persons who were, they had huge tummies, not because they were fat, but because they were actually bloated from the food they were eating that the body was just having difficulty processing. And so throughout the challenge, we saw before and after photographs of people who now had flat tummies after 21 days, not because they participated in a crash diet, but they decided to honor their body with natural food. We call sun-cooked or sun-fired foods. So from tomatoes to lettuce, pak choy, cabbage, kale, spinach, almonds, cashew nuts, chia seeds, steel-cut oats. We had a field day feeding and honoring our body with natural food. And the transformation was not just physical in terms of, you know, weight loss and dropping inches from the waist and bloating going down, but it also included a reduction in some of the symptoms of diseases that some challengers had, from PCOS, fibroids, intense menstrual cramps. The symptoms went away. One person actually testified to their doctor at the end of 21 days visiting their doctor because they are being treated for cancer. The doctor has taken her off the cancer medication because those cancer cells over the period of the challenge between when she did her last visit and when she went back, those cancer cells are no longer a threat to her. So I'm not going to profess that my friend Stacia is curing cancer, but the impact of people taking their intake of food or fuel seriously and being more conscious and responsible about how you invest in your body, what you put in your body, has had some amazing dividends. And I was part of that journey to witness it and also to experience it. So I'm a big coffee fan. I call myself a coffee addict. I can't imagine starting my day without coffee. And one of the elements of the challenge was to just have tea. So I went on a ginger turmeric tea, or turmeric, let me pronounce it properly. In Jamaica, we said turmeric. But a ginger turmeric regimen every morning, having ginger tea or turmeric tea, or a mix sometimes, or just coconut water with lime. And I found that I still had the energy for the day, didn't need the coffee, didn't feel like I was relapsing, didn't feel overwhelmed by the craving. And right now I've actually tried to reintroduce coffee having come off the challenge, and my body just doesn't know what to do with it because it has purged. So now I'm starting my mornings with coconut water and lime, which really scrubs and rinses the body ahead of the day. And although the challenge has ended, I've maintained raw food for breakfast, and as much as possible throughout the day, I'm having the raw juices as well. And I'm seeing the benefits of a steady waistline, because women, we know the challenge with bloating, right? You'll be flat in the morning when you wake up, and by about 1 o'clock, you have a big pouch in front of you. And I found that by continuing to eat raw food unsweetened and unprocessed food, my body is really rejoicing. I'm also able to rest fully. So when I sleep, I actually sleep. And that gives me so much more energy in the morning. So I guess that is also part of why I'm not feeling the need to intensely consume coffee to stay awake and alert. So I ask you again, are you paying attention to and choosing to honor and respect your body every single day? Whether by moving through exercise, offering your body the right kind of nutrient in terms of the fuel you ingest, positive and uplifting, compassionate internal self-dialogue, and rest. You have to learn to give the seed what it needs, one of our harvest principles. Yes, if you're part of our community long enough, you'd be familiar with our harvest principles. And in this case, your body, the seed, needs movement. It needs good fuel. It needs positive self-talk, and it needs rest. If you are giving your body less than what it needs, or the complete opposite of what it needs in any of those areas, unfortunately, you are the weapon formed against you. So in this area, I want to leave with you some tips on what you can do to show up and honor your body in the way that it needs you to honor it. Your habits have brought you here, and habits can move you from this place. So the first question is, well, where have the habits brought you? What's the reality of your body right now? Take a note of that. How does it feel? How does it look? And then the second question is, when will you change direction? So from the habits you have now that have brought you here, when will you change direction to apply and commit to some brand new habits? So you have to set a timeline for that. Is it right now? Are you tired of your body feeling the way it feels? Are you tired of the body looking the way it looks? Are you tired of the body moving the way it moves? Lethargic, groggy, tired, grumpy. Are you tired of the body feeling that way? Okay. When are you going to start doing something differently? If it's not right now, I'm not sure how I can help you, because you have to be ready to take action right now. And if you are, if you don't plan to procrastinate any longer and delay and give yourself more excuses to keep doing the habits and practicing the habits that are dishonoring your body, if you're okay continuing to dishonor your body, then the next phase will not be very helpful to you because you're not prepared to change now. So the next phase is identifying exactly what you need to do to change. Here is what I recommend. Set yourself a bedtime. We all grew up as children with a bedtime. Set a bedtime that allows you to get at least 7 hours sleep every night. Your aim, of course, is 8, but we can start with 7 if you're working at a 0 to 5 hour window right now. Give yourself a bedtime that allows you to go to bed and sleep, rest fully for at least 7 hours. Set an alarm and honor the bedtime. Get all you need to get done so that you can go to bed at bedtime. Because for some of us, here's what never changes. The wake up time, no matter how we feel about it, once the alarm goes off, we have to get up and get moving. So be as committed and regimented in your bedtime as you are in the wake up window of your day. So set a bedtime and rest. Give yourself a morning routine that allows you to put in place good habits such as exercise, meditation or prayer and reflection, and preparing a healthy meal for yourself. That's an obligation you have to feed yourself and fuel yourself well. Again, this is not for you if you're not ready to do things differently right now. This is for somebody who's ready to start this today or tomorrow and get going. So use your morning routine to build in good habits such as reflection, prayer, meditation, whichever suits you. Preparing yourself a healthy breakfast and maybe even putting together your lunch for the day. And movement / exercise. Those two habits have the ability to change your life completely. Because you're addressing the areas that relate to how you honor your body. Do it consistently over the long term. The benefit
must compound. And the third thing I would recommend, because I have done it, is to reset your gut and digestive system. I chose to do it through the Raw Food Challenge with Stacia. She actually has another challenge going for the month of June, and I believe she will also have one for the month of July this year. So I'll put, as I said in the show notes, information on how you can register and give yourself an opportunity to reset your body by giving it what it needs. Maybe the Raw Food Challenge is exactly what you need to get started. Check out her page, find out what it's about, see the testimonials, and move from there to determine how you're going to initiate that reset. The great thing about it is that it offers community, so you don't have to do it alone. One of the features I loved as well were the cooking, the weekly cooking demos, the weekly yoga session, the weekly workout sessions. It was an amazing experience that offered various touch points for us to feel informed and supported. And that's why I recommend it. I get nothing at all in terms of a commission for sharing that with you. But it worked for me. And I'm always happy to share with my community the strategies that work for me. Are you the weapon that is formed against you? And if you are, where have those habits brought you? When will you change direction? What are you prepared to do right now? And how will you create a system that allows you to stay the course? On the matter of honoring your body, I recommend rest, a powerful tool for health, mental and physical, and a morning routine that includes exercise, some kind of spiritual reflection and focus, and preparing a good breakfast and lunch if you can. And third, find a way to build community around the transformation you want to see. So whether it is your gym membership or Stacia's 21-day raw food challenge, find a community that helps you to trigger a shift in direction, sustain it, and develop a sense of community so you don't feel as though you're walking in a wilderness on your own. I hope this episode has been helpful for you. And remember, none of us really wants to be the weapon formed against our own success. While no weapon formed shall prosper, that's not permission to self-sabotage.
That's it for this episode of Good Gas Mondays. I want to thank you for listening and being a part of our community. And if this episode has struck a chord with you, please leave us a review wherever you are listening to your podcast and give our podcast a rating. I'd also ask that you share this podcast with two persons, this specific episode with two persons who you know may be feeling discouraged right now, confused about their next steps, and uncertain and untrusting of themselves to do what is required to transform their lives. We're in a season of change, but the change is possible if we are clear on why we want what we want, who we must become to get what we want, and what we have to continue doing in order to get what we want. So if there's somebody entering their season of change and you can tell they're a little timid, a little fearful, a little distrusting and afraid, share this with them. This might be just what they need to add some good gas to their tank and power through to that space of transformation. Thank you so much for listening, and I wish for you a blessed week, an exciting second quarter, and a 2021 on purpose. I'm Crystal Tomlinson, and it is my pleasure to pour powerfully and positively into your life. Love and blessings.